ladies and gentlemen, excuse the technical difficulties right now. We're just going to welcome Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs to the show. Wendy, why don't we get started with you, and we'll do the market report after the break.
Okay, sounds like a plan. Today's health topic is about vitamin B and being deficient. Are you there, Melanie? She says finally she's connected. Are you there? All right. Well, we're going to talk about vitamin B deficiency. Very common today for people to be deficient in nutrients. And the deficiency really comes from a lot of changes in agriculture, because over the last 100 years, Dave, the way that we farm crops and raise livestock has changed quite a bit. Really, never before in history has our food been so saturated with chemicals, drugs, and even disease. You know, you hear on the news, lettuce has got E. coli all over it, and they're doing recalls on that, and spinach. And so even if you're not on prescription drugs even today, chances are you are ingesting various types of drugs when you go out to eat or you're buying conventional produce and meats. And these drugs and chemicals can actually further block absorption of nutrients and remain in your system and cause various problems. So we're going to talk about if you're devoid of vitamin B, which is very common. Also, the nervous system needs vitamin Bs. It runs on vitamin B, so we have a lot of neurological and nervous system and personality disorders, and it really does come down to, a lot of it comes down to nutrients. All right, so if you're missing adequate amounts of vitamin B, you can have a myriad of symptoms, but things like you can have poor skin, you can have cracks around your mouth, scaly skin, frequent rashes, your tongue can swell, you can have fatigue, weakness, and even anemia, confusion, irritability, and depression, nausea, diarrhea, or constipation, abdominal cramps, numbness and tingling in your extremities, also called peripheral neuropathy, and you could be prone to infections. So if you have a lack of, let's say, vitamin B12, psychiatric disorders can result, as well as cardiovascular conditions. So if you're female and you're childbearing age, the lack of vitamin B12 can also affect the baby, and you can have birth defects. Now, the average person is going to try to supplement their diet with vitamins sold in stores. So you want to be selective on your supplements as if you would your regular foods.
How so, Wendy?
Well, synthetic supplements are processed by the body like prescription drugs, and it puts a lot of burden on the liver and your filtering organs. So if you take too much of this type of supplement, you can have symptoms similar to drug toxicity, which could be, again, skin conditions. You can have flushed skin or itchy skin, blurry vision, abdominal cramps, nausea, diarrhea, vomiting, excessive thirst, as well as swelling of the face, tongue, or throat, and breathing difficulty. But people need to really read their ingredient labels, Dave, closely on their supplements, no matter where they're getting them. Most consumers would really never have thought that a bottle of vitamin B can contain a byproduct of cyanide.
All right.
I know. Now, of course, consumers are reassured by the chemist and the manufacturers that this byproduct, which is called cyanocobalamin, is absolutely safe. So according to WebMD.com, the cyanocobalamin is added as it's added to the man-made vitamin B12 supplements pretty much as a stabilizer. So most people are told by their doctors that, yeah, most of the vitamins out there are the same. And since they typically the mass amounts of vitamins are manufactured by two or three companies that are following FDA-approved recipes that are called monographs, then you could assume they are kind of the same, and they're all just private labeled for Target and Walmart and GNC and whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, doctors may recommend you go get a vitamin B supplement if they've done some blood work, and it may indicate you're anemic, or if you're an alcoholic, or if you have cancer or HIV, if you tend to be a vegetarian, or if you're pregnant and your nutrients are low. Side effects of ingesting supplements with the cyanide byproduct cyanocobalamin: you could become anemic taking it, you can have low potassium, you can have muscle cramps and weakness, irregular heartbeat, serious allergic reactions like rash and itching and swelling of the tongue and throat area, trouble breathing, and difficulty with dizziness. You can have vertigo.
Now, Wendy, you're full of all kinds of good information today, and good news to boot.
Well, there's also a precautionary list of conditions that would prohibit you from using supplements with the cyanocobalamin byproduct.
So if you have
eye disease like Leber's optic neurology, which is a degeneration of the retinal cells, you want to avoid those supplements. Also, if you have blood disorders, polycythemia vera is one. If you have gout, you don't want to take these type of supplements. If you have an iron deficiency, low potassium, or if you're a smoker, you definitely want to stay away from any byproduct of the cyanide. We're going to get to that reason in a minute. Here's a quote from Healthline.com. They say, cyanocobalamin contains a cyanide molecule. It is frequently used in supplements as a stabilizer for longer shelf life, and it is more cost-effective than using natural forms of the vitamin B12. So it's really a money thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure sounds like it.
Well, and the conversion is an interesting thing, because when you look at how the body metabolizes this kind of stuff, when supplement manufacturers use synthetic ingredients and stabilizers in their product, like this cyanocobalamin, they expect these chemicals to be converted by your body into a working nutrient. So the body is expected to do the hard work to glean a benefit from the chemicals. And if the body's not really being fortified by the supplement, but it's trying to convert it into something it can use. And studies done by the U.S. National Library of Medicine and Institutes of Health are suggesting that the body may be able to absorb 49% of the synthetic supplements, but it depends on the health of the person. So usually it has to take from your nutritional stores to make a conversion happen. So you wind up devitalizing rather than fortifying. Do you understand that part?
Yeah. I mean, how can one? I mean, we consumers are inconsistent in our committed we are to checking labels. How else do we help to ensure that our vitamins are toxin free?
Well, that's a good point. I tell people, call me all the time and they ask me, hey, do you know about this product? What do you think of it? And I have to really look into it a little bit usually, because there's so many products out there. Mm-hmm. And if your ingredient list reads like a bunch of isolated chemicals, mm-hmm. and they're not reading like whole foods, like instead of ascorbic acid, does it say rose hips for vitamin C?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So ascorbic acid is a chemical derivative, and all of it comes from China now. So most of these chemical derivatives are imported, to be honest. Well, the most commercial vitamins on the market are going to contain a lot of cheap chemical stabilizers to help that shelf life. And your vitamin B supplements are kind of made from those approved FDA monograph recipes. And do you know where typically the main ingredients for vitamin B come from? Take a guess.
Oh, gosh. You mean what country or
no,
what part of our body?
If these three major companies are making complex Bs, vitamin B12, any kind of Bs, where do you suppose they're getting their ingredients to make B vitamins from?
I don't know. The Brazilian rainforest?
Well, actually, they are derived from sewer sludge and fermented bacteria.
Lovely.
Right, and that's why when you crack open a bottle of those Bs, they stink. You ever notice they really smell?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they're all preserved with the cyanide derivative as a stabilizer. So consumers really have no idea what the chemical synthesis is going to be in their body when you're taking these types of products. So the marketing is reassuring, this is safe, but most of the chemical research on these products are based on scientific hypothesis, which is basically an educated guess. Mm. And accumulation of a lot of these properties can cause unknown conditions, and consumers should really look for supplements that are cyanide-free for absolute safety. And the shelf life may not be as long in some of the whole food products, but you would reduce the synthetic chemical burden on your system. So if you're a smoker, your body is less tolerant of cyanide or even the derivatives cyan-cobalamin. So if you're a smoker, you shouldn't be taking any supplements with that in it. Here is a quote from the Journal of Royal Society of Medicine. They say, a study published in 1992 showed cyanide withdrawal when being removed from vitamin therapy, and especially smokers experienced neuropathy.
Oh, my gosh.
And here is another quote. This is from the journal Blood. They say, cyanocobalamin antagonizes the vitamin B12 in vitro, causing cell death and deficiency.
Do you think it's too much to ask that we're going to find anytime soon cyanide-free labeling in our health food stores, much less supermarkets?
I don't anticipate seeing that. I think most people just pop into the big box stores, GNC and other places, and you know, they just ask the clerk what's good, or they just try to, you know, make an estimated guess themselves. You know, this label looks good, let's just try this. Or how about this? I have a coupon for this brand, let me try that. It's really something you got to be careful of, because everything that we put in our system has a reaction. If food can change your DNA in 6 days, what can synthetic supplements and cyanide derivatives do?
Jeez, yeah.
Well, here's a quote from Green Med Info. They say cyanide cobalamin is listed as a hazardous air pollutant by the government database ToxNet. The amended 1990 Clean Air Act instructs EPA on standards of air emissions and to remove pollutants. Cyanocobalamin is on the list. But it's in your vitamin B supplement.
Yeah, I mean, after all, how bad can it be?
Well, the U.S. National Library of Medicine, Institutes of Health, they published this report called Impact on Cyanocobalamin on Inflammatory Bowel Disease and Intestinal Disorders. They say studies suggest the cyanocobalamin may be contributing to inflammatory bowel disease as seen in human and animal fecal specimens.
Lovely.
End of quote. So you can have a myriad of things go wrong when you're taking synthetic isolated nutrients, because I've said before on the show, you probably remember me saying, when you isolate something, you strip it of buffer alkaloids and other minerals that the body uses to uptake and metabolize that nutrient properly.
So, now, I'm guessing if we have the foresight to be calling Our Lady Wendy at Apothecary Herbs, that the vitamin supplements we're going to get shipped to our house are not going to have these toxins in them.
Nope, they're all whole food. The chemistry is like God put it there. Nothing's taken away from it.
Well, make sure in the time we have remaining that folks know how to contact you.
Absolutely. They can give us a call toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. And last 2 days of our Herbal Detective, so you can get your mystery discount coupon on our website. So take advantage of that. And Body Food Mix is going to have your natural whole food bees in there if you're looking for that kind of supplement.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking to maximize your investment returns, the best thing we can do is make sure we're investing in ourselves. Wendy Wilson at Apothecary Herbs. We'll see you again next week. Thank you so much. We will find you right.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. Yes, I'm Melody Cederstrom. It is Wednesday, February 27th, 2019. Sorry about the mess up, ladies and gentlemen, in the beginning, but I was able to listen to Wendy. She did a great presentation, and I thank her for Dave and her taking over. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy hump day, Melody.
I knew I had to hear that. It wouldn't be Wednesday without listening and hearing you say happy hump day. So
indeed.
So you never disappoint. So
glad to know.
But once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. It is Wednesday, February 27th, 2019, and a lot of news going on today. Of course, I'm going to recap briefly. We'll talk, a little bit more about it tomorrow. Today is Finance Day and Financial News Day, I should say. But of course, all eyes was on. In D.C. today, and I mean, it was just, I was putting my thoughts about it, and you hear the two sides, and Dave, that's really what it's really come down to is two sides, and it's almost to like, look at the level to which we have stooped, and I'm just looking at this, and you see the Republicans up there, you see the Democrats up there, and it's no wonder they have an approval rating so smaller than most people's shoe size. I mean, it really is sad. Yeah, the Republicans up there whining about how they wanted to get back to work and this hearing was just a waste of time. And then you have the Democrats who, are just looking for any little bit of tidbit in order to impeach and to push their agenda and getting President Trump out of there. Then you turn on the news and all you hear is the two sides debating one another. It isn't about the truth. It isn't about what's going on. It's about us and it's about them. It's about them and it's about us. It's the division that we have seen in this country. And it continues. I can't imagine the Republicans were whining about, this hearing is wasting $400 million today. Really? When did you decide to worry about money? We're how many trillions of dollars in debt, and now all of a sudden you're all worried about losing $400 million and sitting there. Oh, you all want to get back to work and help your constituents and blah, blah, blah. And again, why are your approving ratings so low? I mean, it's you talk about a circus that's going on in D.C. And yeah, I found some things that I thought were interesting that I thought would be, interesting to talk about, and the one thing is about how they fixed the surveys online. It's like, really? You know, but did anybody, do people really believe those surveys online anyway? I mean, it's like everything that you hear on the internet anymore is real. It's true. But it isn't. It's so easily fixed. Dave, I didn't want to get into this. We're going to head right off into the, you know, but I was frustrated trying to get on the program. And again, I apologize to the listeners for, you know, having that start. Oh, I got to do the market report. See, I almost got carried away, Dave. You need to interrupt me and say, hey, get to the market report, Melody.
You know, some rants are worth ranting about, which means they're worth listening to.
Well, you need to interrupt me and, you know, hear your own rant. We have to have our own rant sometimes. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It didn't have to last. And you know what? Some of the questions, I mean, how many times can you repeat the same question? How many times can the statements be repeated? I mean, it's like, what, they're not creative enough to come up with their own questions or their own statements?
Yeah,
I mean,
just,
it's like,
you know,
okay, well, no wonder you're up there for how many hours wasting $400 million. You know, say something that the other person didn't say. And it's just, you know, again, this is just proof. What is going on and the problems of this country truly are not being addressed. And not one word, you know, again, of our real issue, which is our debt. But anyway, gold today was down 920 at 1320 in the New York spot market. Silver was down 18 cents at $15.81. Platinum was up 7 at 871. And palladium was down $37, almost 2.5% at 1532. Interesting day to look at those two white metals, the platinum and palladium. Is this the time that platinum is going to be breaking out from its sister, palladium? So we'll have to see, but it was an interesting day. It was higher by $6. So, but it reversed itself. So and rhodium also was up $20 today, not quite 1%. So when you have both platinum and rhodium up, palladium down, it could be the reversal of that palladium. The USDX today was up 0.09 at 96.19. Crude oil was up $1.47 at 56.97. And the paper markets today, let me bring that up. You're looking at the Dow was down 72 points, 25,985. The NASDAQ was up 5 at 7,554. The S&P was down 1, 2,792. 10-year yield, 2.69%. It's only interesting to see where the yields end up at by the end of the week after we've had all these auctions this week. And European Asian markets are pretty calm. You know, it was, you know, the biggest news, of course, was President Trump being in Vietnam, meeting with President Kim Jong-un. What's his name, Dave?
Kim Jong-un.
Thank you. I know it. I knew
but,
it.
You know what?
I just couldn't
all
say it.
I really like the nickname Jim.
Jim, you do like that? Okay, we'll start calling him Jimmy.
Donnie and
President
Jimmy.
Kim Jimmy.
There you go. From if he may perhaps if he were from South Korea.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. And of course, you know, but let's go ahead and get started with some things that did happen today in the financial news arena. Seems like maybe, and you know, after we talked about all the housing starts and everything yesterday, we're down, you know, percentage over percentage. You know, these contracts for pending home sales are still down, what, almost 2.5% compared with a year ago. But it does show that maybe with the lower mortgages, they seem to be coming back to pending home sales, which is a sign contracts to buy existing homes increased about 4.5% in January compared with December. And that's from the National Association of Realtors. and home buyers are seem to be returning to the market. You know, we'll see if that's the case, Dave. We have the average rate on the 30-year fixed mortgage jumped over 5% at the start of November, and then it began to fall in December.
Yeah, last month when these contracts were signed, mortgage 30-year fixed was hit a low of 4.43. Now, that likely helped buyers not only afford homes but feel better about their overall investment. Closed sales of existing homes fell in January, but those represent contracts signed in late 2018 in November and December when rates were still falling, but were higher than they are now. Some are now reporting increased demand thanks to lower rates, but there's still a hesitancy reported in the overall market. Glenn Kelman, who's CEO of Redfin, said it's a little bit better than it was in the fourth quarter. We're seeing stronger buyer demand, but it's not as if people are willing to pay any price to get a home, which is what we saw at the beginning of last year and for the past 4 years before that, Melody.
But it's still not as good as last year. There's still a decline. And, you know, we have these multinational companies, American companies, they want President Trump's negotiations with Beijing to win some real improvements in access to Chinese markets, not just an overall U.S. trade deficit. Companies that responded to a questionnaire last week want an end to Chinese pressure to hand over technology, unequal enforcement of laws, and other chronic problems. And this all came out about by the American Chamber of Commerce in China. Tim Stratford said that if not, their losses in a tariff war will be a tremendous waste if we don't address the underlying structural issues. We will have continued trade frictions. There were about 150 companies that did respond to this questionnaire last week, and 43% want to keep Trump's punitive debt tariffs on 10% on $200 billion of Chinese goods in place while these negotiations continue to go ahead. And only about 10% want Trump to go ahead with a planned March 1 increase to 25%. It'd be interesting to see who those 10%. Oh, yeah, let's increase it to 25%. Yeah, what companies are those?
Yeah, that boggles the mind. Now, you know, companies that responded to this questionnaire said they want guarantees that Chinese anti-monopoly and other laws are going to be enforced equally against them and local Chinese competitors. American companies rightly worry that U.S.-Chinese relations will deteriorate and are hedging their bets, Melody, by delaying investments or by moving operations. You know, 37% of companies that responded to a survey at the end of last year expect relations to deteriorate. That's more than double 2017's level of 16%. UBS also reported last month that 37% of 200 manufacturers surveyed by it, UBS, have shifted out of China altogether over the past 12 months. The American Chamber's European counterpart has reported similar unease among its members and reluctance to invest there as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting, though, but where are they? They're going to have to invest somewhere. So are they going to stay here? Are they going to bring their investments here? Or are they going to go someplace, Vietnam, India?
They're going to stay in cash, methinks, until there's a clear, you know, focus of, you know, is there going to be a trade agreement with China? Is Brexit going to happen? I mean, other, you know, big issues like that. Otherwise, you know, companies will, you know, likely stay on the sideline, and that could affect certainly GDP growth for the rest of this quarter, not just here, but abroad as well.
You know, I guess it might be hard to talk about if these tariffs, not if, when these tariffs, whether these agreements are completed, but, I mean, how will it affect the buyers, consumers, the rest of the United States. I mean, we really don't sell that much to China.
Devil's in the detail.
Yeah. So I'm not sure, you know, agriculture perhaps. So, but then you have the bigger corporate farmers that will get the deals, not your little, you know, mom and pop farmer, the family farm that's been in, you know, around for, you know, 100 years or more. I can't imagine they'd benefit, but, you know, the big corporate farms will. So it's, which, and what other industries, you know, defense, Caterpillar, you know, the big machineries and things like that. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how it helps. I do know that Jack Ma, and I've said this several times in this program, I had read an interview with that he did where he wants to open up the markets on the internet between, you know, not just Amazon, but where, you know, people can sell good. Maybe it is at like an Amazon, because I guess doesn't Amazon have lots of little stores? People can have little stores on Amazon and stuff like that. But it's just been too difficult to, I guess, the money exchange and so forth has just been too difficult. So I know that's what they want to open up. So that would be beneficial to a lot of people here in the States. But anyway, we'll just have to see that comes out. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, not on that. Vietnam is an interesting story, though.
Yeah, their Rising Global Statue is up a level or two this week as they're hosting this summit. Once isolated among the poorest countries in the world, Vietnam has emerged over the last three decades as a manufacturing hub where large multinational firms such as Intel, Samsung, Adidas, Nike, where they have set up bases. This country has already become a major exporter of textiles, electronic goods, footwear, with 1 in 10 of the world's smartphones is produced in Vietnam. So, powered by manufacturing, economic growth in Vietnam has jumped 2.8% in 1986 when reforms were introduced to 7.1% last year. And they have recorded the strongest expansion to more than a decade in 2018. It was one of the fastest growing economies in the world last year.
Yeah, and their ability to continue thriving at a time when global growth is stagnating hasn't gone unnoticed. You know, in recent years, the country's ability to maintain political stability, you know, especially in the midst of an economic transformation, that's seen as a model for North Korea to follow. You know, like the hermit nation, the Southeast Asian country, Vietnam, has been ruled by the same political entity, the Communist Party of Vietnam, since its independence in 1945. Vietnam was also once isolated, much like North Korea is now, for invading Cambodia in 1978. You know, Fitch Solutions wrote in a recent report that Vietnam offers North Korea the most realistic path for the massive and successful transformation of a communist one-party state with hostile relations towards the U.S. into a politically stable, rapidly growing economy with good relations with most of its neighbors. Certainly a mouthful, but some interesting opinion there.
You know where it is, but you know, you get so many mixed emotions, you know, about it. You know, when you think of the. And I guess you have to move on, you know, but when you think about the number of lives that were lost, I mean, this it does bring about, you know, when you see all this manufacturing, you know, building up a nation, and you continue to see ours, you know, some people will say, well, our nation isn't declining. Well, manufacturing it is. And that's part of big problem that we have. So it's a lot of mixed emotions that, you know, could bring about. But Vietnam is, you know, still considered a lower middle-income country by the World Bank. Still a long way from the time when it was once one of the poorest nations in the world.
Over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Dave, brevity is golden day.
It's true.
And it's interesting because, well, I'm just going to let you start it off, Dave. What's the topic this week?
Melody, in a word, it's vodka.
Vodka.
Vodka. Or as they say in the homeland, wodka. Dutch customs officials at the port of Rotterdam have seized 90,000 bottles of vodka believed to be destined, listen to this, for the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and his army chiefs.
How many army chiefs does he have? That's a heck of a lot of bottles.
apparently they were anticipating a big celebration after this summit. You know, the discovery, which was made on the eve of Kim's two-day summit with our president in Hanoi, was revealed after Dutch authorities flagged up the suspicious route, as well as the records of a Chinese-owned container ship named Nebula. The Russian vodka contained in 3,000 boxes had been recorded as being due for unloading in China via the ports of Hamburg and Rotterdam. When officers sought to retrieve the container from the ship's hull, it was found to be concealed and hemmed in by the fuselage of an aircraft also due to be exported to China. Now, despite concerns about damaging the aircraft, the Dutch Ministry of Affairs ordered the container's removal. Initial investigations heightened suspicion that the haul was to be taken to Pyongyang, according to Dutch authorities. Arno Kuge, the customs officer in charge of the seizure, declined to comment on what had alerted his systems to the container ship. He said, predictably, we don't want to make anyone wiser than necessary. But we suspected this vodka would not go to China, but to North Korea. Now, the Dutch Minister for Trade, who ordered the seizure, said the Security Council of the United Nations has imposed clear sanctions on North Korea, so it's important to enforce those sanctions. Kim, who was educated in Switzerland, is known to have quite the taste for the high life. Last year, it was claimed he had spent more than $4 billion, with a B, dollars on importing luxury products from China since taking power in 2011. His family said to have imported a seaplane, musical instruments, watches, and furs, with luxury items accounting for about 18% of North Korea's total imports from China in 2017. That's according to a South Korean analysis. So we do know that President Trump is not a drinker of alcohol. So this was certainly going to be a big celebration for the North. I'm not sure what's going to happen now. It sounds like there could be a lot of withdrawal going on north of the border, Melody. And that is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Well, you know what? It's kind of a scary thing. You know, 90,000 bottles of vodka, and if they were in celebration, I hope they didn't feel like they needed to set off any fireworks, you know.
Yeah, hey, how about it?
And they hit the wrong button.
Red buttons.
But very interesting, very interesting. Well, you know, we're kind of going around the world with some interesting news spots and kind of, you know, take us out of what's going on here in the States and so forth. But in Africa's largest economy and top oil producer, Nigerian President Buhari today won a second term. And Buhari of the All Progressive Congress Party proved wrong that those who doubted he could survive the blows of recession, militant attacks on oil fields, and Islamist insurgency that blighted his first term. India also, this is what I find interesting, Dave. It's interesting and scary because it's been a long time since I remember talking about India and Pakistan on the program.
Nuclear powers.
They've been fairly quiet for a long time. But it seems like things are boiling over. India said its warplanes killed a very large number of fighters when they struck a militant training camp inside Pakistan yesterday. I thought they had planes that were hit, but it was a training. Dave, it was a training.
Well, yeah, that's what India's planes took out, a training camp in Pakistan yesterday. Now today, Pakistan claims that it shot down some Indian warplanes. So you know, this is sort of the next round of tit for tat there, and that's a scary it's one thing to go after trade tariffs, the other country's goods that they're selling to us and across the world. Boy, it's a totally different thing when you've got neighbors, both of whom have nuclear arms, with missiles pointed at one another, many of them mobile.
This is a sticky situation, yeah. I think there was also a suicide bombing in Kashmir earlier this month that sort of began this escalation in this hostile rhetoric from
yes.
both countries. And like you said, they're both nuclear. And they've been quiet. They've been, you know, a little bit, playing nicey-nice for a while, Dave. But how many did it kill in that car bomb attack?
Well, they're reportedly at least 40. 40 Indian police in Kashmir. This militant group called JEM, which apparently was the target of the Indian warplanes inside Pakistan, they claimed responsibility for that car bomb attack 2 weeks ago. You know, Pakistan, of course, denies harboring that group, JEM. A senior Indian government source said that 300 militants had been killed in the strikes and the warplanes had ventured as far as 50 miles inside Pakistan. Of course, no evidence was provided to back up the claims of casualties, and we're not sure, we haven't heard what, if any, role the U.S. and other allies may have played in either one of these attacks. But the government said the action was ordered because India said it had intelligence that JEM was planning more attacks. So it's certainly not over. And we'll have to keep a close watch on that. I'm sure our senior Pentagon officials are in touch with their counterparts in those two countries.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, we're talking about nuclear weapons, and of course we have President Trump in Vietnam with a summit with North Korea's president, and you know, everyone talks about and believes that Kim's views on nuclear weapons is so critical to his survival of his regime that, you know, he's very unlikely to ever give them up. Having made substantial progress on the nuclear front, though, Kim used his New Year's address to lay out a new strategic line focusing exclusively on the economy, and I believe that part is what's going to be used. The economy is to try to get him to denuclearize. But you know what, Dave, before you go on and talk a little bit about the economic powerhouse possibilities, this morning, and this is something that we've forgotten, or I've forgotten, but I heard that, or read that, North Korea has one of the largest stockpiles of chemical weapons and biological weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't ever hear that come into play into these discussions. And this is something that he already has. So I don't know. I thought that was, and it's like I forgot about that. We were so focused on his nuclear denuclearization. Right. Well, what about that?
Well, and that's what some people have been saying has to be part of any agreement that Trump, that the U.S. agrees to, that is a verifiable reduction or elimination of these nuclear weapons, plus, you know, these chemical and biological weapons that were used by Kim's relatives, his father, and so forth back in the day against his own people, its own people. But you know, the more that's stockpiled, you know, just common sense, the more a risk it is that, you know, some group is going to, you know, some rogue general is going to, you know, sell a chunk to a, you know, a rogue terrorist group, or, you know, they're going to be stolen. And that's not good for
anyone.
The U.S. It certainly isn't good for China and the other neighbors in the Korean Peninsula. Anyway, you know, Trump's attempted to sell Kim on the idea, you know, his country will rapidly become, as Melody said, an economic powerhouse, but only if he gives up his nukes. You know, prosperity and security abounds in Vietnam. You know, when the leaders in Hanoi go to bed at night, the notion of conflict with America is the last thing on their minds. Now, that was a quote by our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, when he visited Vietnam last year, before telling Kim, that can be your miracle in North Korea as well. So, China's economic might is viewed in Washington less as a miracle than as a threat, but Trump this week has given the clearest indication yet that he plans to wind down a trade war that has posed pointed questions to Beijing.
Well, Trump said that after substantial progress on trade talks, he expects to sign the deal with President Xi Jinping as early as next month at Mar-a-Lago. Finally, in Cuba, we reported on Monday that over the weekend, voters had ratified a new constitution for the first time since 1976. But wasn't it communist?
Socialist, yeah.
It was.
It's one party, socialist economic system, You know, that's been declared irrevocable.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to see what that's going to mean with particularly tourism between Cuba and the U.S. and the West. What it's going to mean for modernization, which we know, Cuba seems to be stuck in the 40s and 50s.
So if we go to Cuba, does that take us back in age too? If we were born in the 50s?
does that
work that way?
Spring on the horizon, because I hear some hope springing eternally.
Well, drug companies, they cheered Trump's administration's proposed crackdown on industry middlemen, thinking that, but some hedged this morning when asked whether the plan would cause them to lower their prices, and that's what people were cheering about, thinking that, drug prices would finally be lowered. Pharmaceutical executives had stayed firmly on message, and even several lawmakers have taken a tough tone against the seven executives testifying this morning about drug prices. You have Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon had said AbbVie protects the exclusivity of Humira like Gollum in his ring. Funny. The pharmaceutical executives in attendance responded with many of the industry's standard arguments, including broadsides against pharmacy benefit managers and drug rebate programs. I'll never lower drug prices, but go ahead, Dave.
Well, yeah, this is, putting their money where their mouth is. That remains to be seen. We know that the Trump administration has proposed eliminating those PBM rebates in Medicare and Medicaid, saying that they'd also translate into lower sticker prices for consumers. Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley of Iowa asked the executives whether they would, in fact, lower prices as a result of the rebate proposal. Well, AstraZeneca CEO and Merck CEO both said their companies would lower drug prices if the rebate rule was applied to both the Medicare and commercial insurance markets. For now, it doesn't apply to commercial insurance, only Medicare and to some extent Medicaid. Others said they'd similarly support the rule, but hedged by saying costs wouldn't be lower for patients when they pick the drug up at the pharmacy. I don't know. I think you're right, Melody. It'll be a long time.
After listening to Wendy for so many years, maybe by lowering drug prices, maybe people won't get it and they'll seek something else out. One thing we're going to have to seek out is the end of the program, because we are out of time. And I want to thank all the listeners for joining us today, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.